So normally this is the point where I'd have you stand, but I'm not going to have you do that right away because I actually kind of want to introduce the scripture a little bit tonight. With it being the new year, I'm going to follow in with a tradition that sort of started in our church, and that is the first Sunday of the year, or close to the first Sunday of the year, we usually preach a sermon that is sort of thematic for the year. It's a little bit of like what could be our banner statement as a church going into 2021. And we've done this actually for quite a while, going all the way back to Pastor Tom, who was here before me, so I just inherited it from him. But it's always quirky because we don't know what's going to happen in the coming year. And so it's sort of hard to know for sure what should be our theme verse, so to speak, as a church. We always just sort of are prayerful, me and Brian, and asking God through His Holy Spirit to guide us on what could be helpful for our church. And it's been amazing the last few years to see how sometimes we choose things and we have no idea the fruit that it will bear as the year goes on. But somehow it just always seems to be a word on target. So, for instance, last year, I came into our New Year's sermon scared to death because I had picked a passage that I thought you guys were going to think I was crazy for picking. It was in Matthew 15. It was the story of Jesus encountering a Canaanite woman and truthfully kind of being rude to her. I don't know if you remember that account, but it's the woman that comes to him and he basically tells her to get lost. He compares her to a dog at one point, and it's just like, what in the world? This is not the Jesus I'm accustomed to reading about. And we reflected in that sermon about how sometimes when the Lord steps back, when He withdraws from us, it's an invitation for us to lean in even more and to seek Him. And little did we know at the time, but we were about to step into a year that had a lot of challenges that we've never experienced before. Our world has never experienced anything like this, at least in the recent generations. And a few of you guys actually emailed me throughout the year and were like, do you remember that sermon you preached back at the beginning of January? Like, it was more kind of had its finger on the pulse than maybe we even realized at the moment. So I'm hoping that maybe the same thing will happen with this sermon tonight, although I hope it does and I hope it doesn't. I think you'll see what I mean in a little bit when I actually read the text. It's in Habakkuk chapter 3 tonight up here. I don't have too many slides, but the reason that I kind of landed on this Habakkuk passage, I'll tell you before we actually read it, is because the last few weeks in particular, I've been picking up on sort of this blind faith that our culture seems to have in the year 2021. That just by changing that one little number, going from 2020 to 2021, everything's going to be better. And maybe you've heard this or seen this, but the sentiment usually goes a little something like this. It's like 2020, it was so horrific, so nightmarish, so chaotic. 2020 is bound to be better. It has to be better. Did I say 2021 there? Okay, good. I'm probably going to mess up those numbers of the year multiple times tonight, so just be aware of that. But this thinking is kind of just this sense that, like, we're due. And hey, listen, I've said that often. Some of you guys in here have heard me say that. So you're probably like, Josh, that's not just the culture. You've actually said that. I know I have. I've fallen into that trap. And the reason I call it a trap is because, I mean, you tell me. Are we guaranteed for 2021 to be better? We aren't. I desperately hope that it is. I'm on my knees in prayer that it will be. But I know that it just doesn't magically happen because the calendar changes from 2020 to 2021. If you guys have ever taken a logic class in high school or college, you know that there's a similarity here between what we're talking about and something that's usually called the gambler's fallacy. The gambler's fallacy has to do with it's called that because it sort of is a hypothetical of a guy that has lost 10 bets in a row. So imagine he's lost 10 consecutive hands of blackjack. But instead of just cutting his losses and leaving, he says, I'm staying for the 11th hand because I'm bound to win the 11th. I mean, what are the odds of losing 11 times in a row? It's crazy. It's astronomical. I'm due this hand. But he's not. He's just as likely to lose that hand as he was the first. And so it's not identical. It's not exactly the same, but just this sort of thinking that just turning the page of the calendar makes it all better. It's not a guarantee. 2021 might be the most peaceful, wonderful, restorative year that we've ever seen. I hope it is. But it might not be. And my question for tonight is, how will we as the church respond if 2021 is difficult, hard, chaotic in ways that maybe be the same as what we saw last year, or maybe even harder in some ways? How will we respond as a church and as the people of God? Well, I think Habakkuk has a bit of an answer to that. So, if you would, stand with me for the reading of God's Word. Like I said, we're in Habakkuk chapter 3. We're looking at verse 17, 18, and 19. And these are actually the very last verses of this book. It's a short book, one of the minor prophets. It's only three chapters. And what we read tonight will be kind of the finish of this book. So if you would, follow along with me as I read for us. God's Word says this. Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God, the Lord, is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on my high places. To the choir master, the stringed instruments. This is the word of God. Thanks be to him. Let's pray. Lord God, I ask and pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts will be pleasing in your sight. We ask, God, that your Holy Spirit would do his work among us tonight, softening our hearts, opening our eyes, unstopping our ears, so that we could truly hear the words of God, your words. Lord God, we ask and pray it in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thanks be for standing. You may be seated. It's almost fell over there. So, guys, this is going to be sort of a short reflection tonight. I've already used a lot of my time that I've got because we're going to do the Lord's Supper later on. But because it's a short reflection, I'm not going to do a deep dive into the nitty-gritty of all the details of this text, which kills me. You know, I love to do that. But we're going to have to do sort of a cursory glance of what's going on here. And one of the things that I want you just to kind of, in this cursory fashion, to pick up on more than anything else is just how scary this situation that we just read about in Habakkuk is. Now, I was telling the folks up in Paradise today that you kind of get, or I'm not going to say you, I'll say me, I kind of get lulled to sleep when a text like this talks about things like fig trees and blossoms and vines. Fruit. It all seems very just floral and pretty and beautiful, like a botanical garden. And so I think of things like, oh, the blossom didn't come in this year, or the fruit didn't come like we thought it was. And like, that's a bummer, but you just sort of move on. However, when Habakkuk says this, he's in an agricultural society that these things are essential to. They're like the building blocks of their society, so that if you take them away, everything crumbles. And this idea of the fig tree not blossoming, and fruit not being on the vines, the olive failing, that is catastrophic. I mean, all of these things we could relate to saying that they're the loss of jobs so that people can't work anymore. We could say that it's the loss of food, so that food's not on the table. I sat up in Paradise this morning. I was like, you know, we think it's inconvenient that we go to Trader Joe's and have to stand outside in a line or wear our mask when we go in the store. How about if you went into the grocery store and there was no food available? That's what this is talking about. Or even ideas of trade and commerce and the community being able to be stabilized by those things. All of that is gone in the situation that Habakkuk has just outlined here. So if you're anything like me and you read about blossoms and fig trees and fruits and vines, you're like, oh, that sounds so sweet. See the brass tacks here, that what's being described is actually catastrophic. It's a scenario that, truthfully, Habakkuk has never seen in his lifetime, and we've never seen either, as hard as last year was. So, Habakkuk, he's imagining this terrible what if, this nightmarish what if. And as he looks into that future, here's what he says he's going to do. Verse 18. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. Habakkuk's most nightmarish what if about their society is not enough to keep him from praising God. Now, one thing that's important to note here, that Habakkuk doesn't merely say this. He sings it. Tell me, why am I saying that he sings this verse? Anything in the text that maybe you saw, picked up on? The very end? Hint. Yes! Brian, I hope that's because, not just because you were there this morning and heard me say it already. But the very last part of our text says, to the choir master with strings and instruments. This is a song. At some point in Habakkuk's book, it had gone from being this prophetic oracle and it shifted into this melody that he actually says, this is to be sung by the congregation of Israel. It's to be sung by us. And this song is one that looks into the future of the terrible, awful what if, and says, come what may, my God will receive my trust and my praise. He will. And what I want you to see about this song, and what I'm going to revisit at the very end when I wrap this up, is that there's this decision being made where Habakkuk is not saying that my praise and my trust is contingent on what happens tomorrow. He's saying, I'm choosing today what I will do tomorrow. I'm choosing today what I will do 6 months from now. I'm choosing today what I'll do this time in 2022. And what I'm choosing is to rejoice in the God of my salvation. That's not contingent upon what happens, even though it might be the fig tree not blossoming and the vine not producing fruit. Now, I want you guys to understand that there is good reason for him to say this. It isn't just this madman who's saying, I'm going to trust God even if he fails me over and over and over again. No, that's not what's going on. Because Habakkuk, he gives a reason for this decision that he's making, for this song that he's singing. It was at the very end of our text, but truthfully it runs all throughout this book. He says in verse 19, God, the Lord, is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on my high places. Have you guys ever seen deer that are running down a steep incline or slope at like breakneck speed? They're able to do that. Like, it's uncanny. Deer and other animals are able just to run at the speed of the wind down like 60-degree slopes and inclines. I remember the first time I ever went to Billy Park up in Paradise when I moved there. I was standing out on that grotto that's near the park, and I saw this group of deer that are just flying down this hill, and rocks are every step they take, like there's little bits of rock that are coming undone from the cliff and whatnot. It just looked like they were going to go into a somersault at any point in time. But they're so sure-footed and sort of footloose and fancy-free. They're not given a care in the world as they're just running down this hill. And this is what Habakkuk's saying here. That's the image he wants you to have in your mind. That God is my strength. He's my protection. He makes my feet like that. so that I can be on a cliff that looks so precarious and so dangerous and looks like I'm going to lose my footing at any point. And yet God protects. Now, a cynic like me would hear Habakkuk sing that and be like, are you kidding, dude? It doesn't look to me like God is protecting your feet like the deer's when there's no food available in your town, and when all the jobs are gone, and when society has collapsed. It doesn't look like God's protection to me. I think that's what Habakkuk would say. Oh, but you don't understand. The protection I'm talking about is way more than just my earthly circumstances. I'm talking about, let's go up one verse, I will take joy in the God of my what? Salvation. My God has saved me in ways far beyond what the fig tree does or what the vine does. My God has saved me in ways far beyond what the circumstances of this world might bring. He saved me in such a way that no matter what happens around me, my redemption is secure in Him. He's cared for my soul, my eternal soul, in a way that brings me peace and comfort, knowing that that is secure in Him. That's why I'm able to say, the Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer. These are the things that Habakkuk is singing about. And it's such a fascinating picture because for all that I can do to start my meditation on this by trying to convince you how catastrophic and terrible and nightmarish this situation he's described is, the reality is it is overshadowed by that one little phrase, the God of my salvation. Habakkuk could have spent paragraph after paragraph after paragraph describing the worst scenario imaginable. But the God of my salvation would overshadow it. The God of my salvation would be greater always. And that's why he sings. And that's why he says, come what may in the future, come what may in the year 2021, whether it be good or bad, whether it be beautiful or terrible, or whether it be some combination of both, my God will receive my trust and my praise. The people-pleasing part of my heart, which is a big part of my heart a lot of times, has been worried all day today of coming across as overly pessimistic in this sermon. Or having you guys interpret what I'm saying as like, oh, Josh has just given up on 2021. He's just thrown in the towel already. 3 days in, he's done with it. Not the case, I promise you. I think I have devoted more passionate prayers to this coming year than I have in a while, sad to say, just because I've been so shell-shocked by this past one. I am desperately hoping for a year of blessing, at least a blessing that we can immediately see. I want this virus to be gone. I want the vaccines to be effective. I mean, I haven't seen my family in over a year. And I don't want that to last any longer. Our society that I love, that is so divided and wounded and hurting right now, I want it to be healed. Gosh, I am desperate for a 2021 that will make us forget about what's happened all this past year. Believe me, I'm there. But what I'm trying to say this evening is that, yes, that might happen, but it might not. And I want my praise and my trust towards God my Father to be steady regardless circumstances of 2021, whatever they might be. So I choose now that that will be the song on my lips. In May, in August, in October. Mark it on your calendars. When everybody else is dressing up for Halloween on October 31st, you remember to ask me, Josh, what song are you singing? And I'll probably be like, I have no idea what you're talking about. But then hopefully I'll remember. And I hope you'll be singing it too. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. He is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on my high places. Amen. God, help us to see the power and the conviction of these words here, this psalm that we read tonight. Lord God, the reality is that we, as people in the new covenant, we see even more clearly than Habakkuk did your salvation. We know the depths of the sacrifice that Jesus the Son made to purchase our salvation. Costliness unto God. So how much more should we be singing at the top of our lungs, saying, I will rejoice in the God of that salvation. Come what may. Lord God, we hope. We hope for a different kind of year. We pray for it. Lord, our hearts are weary. Our spirits are fatigued. Our marriages are hurting. Our families are struggling. Please, God, have mercy on us. We do pray it. But Lord, let us never put our faith in circumstances. Let us all